Good morning. Good to see everybody here. Glad to know we can still use songbooks. It's like riding a bike. I still know which one, we still know who's supposed to hold what, and it's all good. So this is the first Sunday of the month, which means that it's time for us to focus ourselves on the continuing theme for the year. And our theme for this year is to be devoted, to be focused in our pursuit, to be dedicated. And we spoke last time, in this last month, that really all of that is going to center around God. That God needs to be the center of our life, the center of our thoughts, the center of our heart, the center of our time. He needs to be our pursuit. We are devoted to God. Well, in Acts chapter 2, what we have is the beginning of the church in which people become devoted to God. They have heard the gospel sermon. They have come to realize the error of their ways. They have sinned against God, rebelled against Him, crucified His Christ. And now what shall we do? And we have these people being baptized into Christ, which is essentially them saying, I'm going to devote myself to God. But what's next? Once we say, okay, I'm going to be devoted to God, what is next? And it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. When we devote ourselves to God, there is no better place to start. Perhaps there is simply no other place to start than to dedicate ourselves to listening to Him. What does He want us to do? What has He taught us? What is the truth? I don't suppose that there's going to be anything in this particular sermon that is earth-shatteringly new for you. I imagine if I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you have been in a sermon or listened to a sermon in which you've been told you probably should be reading God's Word? I think everybody would raise their hand. I know so, because I think it was a week ago I did it. I wasn't thinking about the theme. I'm like, oh wait, I'm going to be doing that next week too. This is something we're so familiar with, yet we need the reminder. To be dedicated to God means to be dedicated to His Word. And we ought to learn from the past. Because in the past, we can look at the people of God in the Old Testament and we can see how they kept going away from God and they kept disappointing God and they kept falling away from God and finding themselves not friends with God but enemies. And it almost always centers around their not paying attention to Him, not listening to His Word. Just to consider a few examples of that show us the difference. That this is what's going to decide whether we're on the right path or the wrong. There's one time period where you have the absolute worst king of the north, Ahab. He is an incredibly wicked king, but at the same time, there's a good king in the south. There's Jehoshaphat. You want to know what makes Jehoshaphat good? He keeps asking, is there a prophet of the Lord we can ask? He keeps seeking for God's Word. And you should have a PowerPoint up there and would say, well, that thing's not working, but the truth is I didn't send it here anyway. I never had a shot at using the PowerPoint this morning. And that would help you with some scriptural references if you're taking notes. With Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings 22, verses 7 and 8, he's getting ready to go into battle and he says, is there a prophet of the Lord? And we see this contrast because Ahab says, well, there is this guy. But I don't like him because I don't like what he has to say. And that's the difference. One person, one king, the worst king, won't listen to the prophets because he doesn't like what they have to say. The other one seeks the prophets no matter what they have to say. And that's the difference between them. And it happens again with Ahab's son and still with Jehoshaphat in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 and through 14. And here, their mission is falling apart. And the king from the north, the wicked king, he looks at it and says, this is all God's fault. And Jehoshaphat, in all of his wisdom, says, is there a prophet around? let's go find God's word and we'll find out what the truth is and we'll find out how to solve our problems. One blames God, the other seeks him. Well, then you think about Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah dedicates himself to God, and so he has the temple being cleaned, and this is when we really see that difference that has occurred. As they are cleaning the temple, they find the Word of God. They had lost it. What's going wrong with the people of Israel? They're not paying attention to the Word to the point where they have lost it. I mean, we do that sometimes. They go run through our house like, where's my Bible? I can't remember where I set it down. But this is talking about generations where they forgot. Where's the law? And so in 2 Chronicles 34, starting in verse 14, it says, when they were bringing out the money from which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Then Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, everything that was entrusted to you, your servants, they are doing. They have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hands of the supervisors and the workmen. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the Lord of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Isaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book which has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out on all us, because our fathers have not observed the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. They find the book, they read the book, and you know what they find out? We haven't been obeying the book. When we don't make God's word our focus, we don't accidentally do what's right. Another example would be Ezra. Now we're talking about the people of Israel have paid the price. They have been separated from the land. They have been punished, sent into captivity. And now they're coming back. They're coming back to restoration, to fix their religion, to rebuild the temple, rebuild their relationship with God. And Ezra decides, I'm going to be a part of that. And he has a three-step plan. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And his three-step plan is a fantastic one that we should have. Says Ezra had set his heart, his focus, his mind, devoted himself. He had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Know it, do it, teach it. That's his three-step plan. Know the Word of God, do the Word of God, and teach the Word of God. And if he can do that, he'll get the people in the right place. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 8, we have him doing exactly this. He gets all the people together and they start reading the law. The law. All of it. Every now and then, people are doing public reading of Scripture. I don't know, sometimes it was under the context of we would have reading and singing nights, and so people would get up and they'd sing a song that they wanted to sing, and somebody else would read a passage they wanted to read. They'd get up and they'd start reading, and they'd keep reading, and they'd get to a chapter break, and everybody thinks, the chapter break, we're done with this section, we'll go to the next. And they went past the chapter break, and they kept reading. And you can hear people shifting in their seats, like, oh no, when's he going to stop? We're not always really good at listening to large chunks of the Word. And yet here they are standing listening to all of the Word. Ezra is teaching them what the Word says, teaching them to do it. He's doing exactly what his plan was. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 13, then on the second day, because, well, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 13. Then on the second day, the head of the father's households of the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe that they might gain insight into the words of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the 7 months. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and on their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the square of the water gate and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day. And there was great rejoicing. They start saying, hey, let's read God's word. Everybody reads God's word and bing, we haven't been doing it for a long time. Do you think that there's a lesson for us to learn from the Old Testament when God's people would be religious but somehow always broken in their relationship with God? Because God's people have all too often not been students of His Word. And we're supposed to learn from that and say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God with all my heart, with all my might, which means I'm going to listen. I'm going to dedicate myself to listening to His message. So, if you've got that point, you've got the point of the lesson. I will add just a few things to it. Being devoted to God's Word means being devoted to learning what God has to say. Being devoted to listening to Him. That's what's going on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. They did not know everything that God wanted. They only knew that they were wrong, and so they dedicated themselves to listening. Dedicated themselves to learning, just like what Ezra had done. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, to describe the degree of this devotion, of this dedication, Peter refers to an infant needing milk. He says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We are supposed to dedicate ourselves to God's word, to want God's word, to need it, to feel like we're starving if we're not getting it. One of my favorite compliments to receive as a preacher is also my least favorite. And that's kind of confusing, but it's this. When somebody comes up to me and they say, we like the amount of scripture you have in your sermon, that hits me in the heart. Because that's what I should be doing. Preaching the word. What bugs me is when somebody notices that. Like it's strange. Like it's unusual. And you would not believe how many sermons today are being taught in churches that kind of lacks the word. It's filled with inspirational stories, but it lacks the word. And that should make us cry out, I need food. The preachers are to blame for that. But they're not the only ones. The churches are letting it happen. And we're following into the same mistake that happened in the past. And you will get further and further from God's word. You'll have all these inspirational messages, but you're getting further and further, and there's stuff you're missing. And there are too many who are satisfied for the preacher to have the knowledge, for the preacher to know. But dedication means for me, for you, for each of us to be dedicated to learning. Now let me ask you something. Do you believe that the church today is more knowledge-based, more knowledgeable of God's Word than the churches of a generation ago or the generation before that? I've yet to meet somebody who says, we know more. We are getting dumber and dumber, more and more ignorant. And we've got to turn that around. We've got to turn it around for our kids. What I mean by that is our kids need to have more knowledge than they do. We've got to be better Bible teachers. And we've got to be better parents to make sure that what kids know is that we care about this. We are dedicated, devoted to learning God's word. That we make it our passion and our focus. So being devoted to God's word means devoted to learning it. It means to be devoted to using it correctly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I bet you know that verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. King James, rightly dividing. It is, here's the word of God. Here is the truth. Here is the message that will save you. And you know what? You can misuse it. You want to have a right relationship with God. You want to be approved. You have to use it correctly. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter warns that there were those who were misusing, who were twisting and distorting the scriptures to their own destruction. What's that mean? Do you know what it means to misuse God's word? Do you know how to recognize it and how to avoid it? Satan often is pointed out in Matthew chapter 4 that Satan is quoting scripture to Jesus. What's he doing wrong there? And you have to, if you don't know the answer to that, you don't know how to use God's word correctly. By the way, what he's doing wrong there is he's quoting one scripture and not all of them. He knows one part but not the whole. If we're going to be devoted to God, we need to be devoted to God's word, which means we need to be devoted to using it correctly. Literal when it is literal, figurative when it is figurative. Using it in its context, using it in its broader context, its whole context, understanding what it meant under its current context and what it means under this context. Being devoted to God's word means devoted then, think back to Ezra, I'm going to learn it and I'm going to do it. I'm going to read this to see what should I do every day. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, as Jesus is getting to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, this is the difference. Everybody in that audience had heard the message. Everybody there had heard it. What was going to separate the people that were strong and successful, spiritually right, from those who would be weak, foolish, and destroyed was this, in verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. Contrasted to that, to verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. Everybody heard. We have to read with the desire to act. Being devoted to God's word, furthermore, means to be devoted to making it a part of our assemblies. Like I've said, demanding that sermons, that classes, demanding that we spend time in God's word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, is this not what Paul is telling Timothy to do? He says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Or in Colossians 4 and verse 16, a passage where he says, all right, you need to read this. And he's talking about within the assembly. And then he says, and make it be read over there. And they've got a letter and have it read here. Sermons are always different. There are different styles of sermons. And I'm not saying that this should be done every time. But there are some times where I will do a sermon that is nothing but Scripture. Nothing but reading. And do you know how many times I've had complaints about those? Even from leadership of the church. As I said, I can't do it all the time. Even in Nehemiah with Ezra, there are people that are giving a sense to the message. They're helping people understand it. But But we've got to be satisfied and happy just with the Word. Devoted to making it a part of our assemblies. And finally, devoted to upholding it. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, this is what the church was supposed to do. It says, in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. We are supposed to be the ones that glorify this word. We are supposed to be the ones that talk about it being infallible, trustworthy, complete, relevant to everybody today. We are supposed to be dedicated to the Word in the sense that we are the ones who want everybody else to know how great it is, how important it is. Now is probably a good time to mention an upcoming, I don't know, sermon or class. I haven't figured that out. Maybe the elders will have some input on this. I understand from Wednesday night there have been some good questions about God's Word. How did we get it? I want to answer that, but that's a kind of a complicated question. So far, I've got about six sermons on that, six lessons. I don't know how we're going to do that, but it's coming. But the church was always supposed to be the one to make sure we did get it, to make sure we held on to it, and to make sure we knew this is special. I didn't understand that when I was a kid because my parents were trying to teach me there are some things that are special. So at church where I was growing up, there was this hill in the back and in the front, this grass hill. And you know what we like to do? Roll down it. And my mom didn't like that. She was like, "You're getting grass stains on your suit." She did not think that was good. And I learned that my suit was special. And as a kid, I also liked to swing this thing around. And she would tell me, no. And you know why? Because this is special. And that's what we're supposed to be teaching to our kids and to the world. And we're supposed to be showing it to God. This word is not like the other things of the world. This is special. And it's not the binding. It's the content. God's word is what's going to separate the religion from every other religion. It's what's going to separate truth from what is false doctrine. It's what's going to separate the saved from the lost. So the question is, are you dedicated, focused on God's word? I will learn it. I will do it. I will teach it. Yes, you're right. It's invitation time. I saw that move. All right. If you are not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. We encourage you to follow what the message is, to do what they did in Acts chapter 2. Say, what must we do? And the answer was, repent and let each one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Have your sins washed away this morning. If you're a Christian and you've fallen away, come back, confess your sins. And He has promised in His word, He will forgive you. Won't you come? As we stand and as we sing.